We're all aware of the disastrous effects the hurricane had on New Orleans, and travel journalist Peter Flaherty, well, not just returned, but he's returned fairly recently, and in his Rediscovering America report, he takes us back to New Orleans with a look at the conditions and what's happening these days. Thank you for joining us today, Peter.
Hi, Roy. Glad to be here.
Very, very interesting article, Peter. And for those who have access to the web and are listening on the web, you can go to the Rediscovering America icon and click on Peter's article. And there's some also great photographs there. Where would you like to start, Peter?
Well, there's so many things we could talk about, Roy. I mean, New Orleans is, I visited it many times, and it's a city that's quite close to my heart. I think the article really tries to express the feelings I have. It's a city that fascinates me in so many ways, the music, the food, the history, the culture. I never tire of it, and I really wanted to go back after the hurricane just to assess what had happened and see to what extent it still is the place I always loved and knew before, and what possibilities, what hopes they have for restoring it to what it once was. That was really the reason. Of course, Jazz Fest was the official reason, because I am a jazz lover, but I certainly didn't just want to limit my stay there to Jazz Fest in the French Quarter. I wanted to get out and see really what the city was coping with.
And I think there was even some skepticism of whether they were even going to go forward with the Jazz Fest, I think, at first. And,
yes, yes.
And then they said, hey, wait a minute. We're back. We've got to move forward. So, if nothing else, let's start with it.
That's right. And this year's Jazz Fest, when I looked at the lineup, it always attracts top name talent. And right. Really, it's more, the Jazz Fest is a bit of a misnomer. You can certainly hear some excellent jazz, Dixieland, and all kinds of different jazz. But there are pop artists and much more, sort of commercial artists. Like, for instance, this year, Paul Simon was there. Jimmy Buffett was there, Lionel Richie. The weekend before I went down, they run it on two consecutive weekends in late April, early May. They had Bruce Springsteen and Bob Dylan.
And Fats,
I think they
Fats
made a real
Domino
effort,
even.
Yeah, this year to attract even bigger names than
right.
usual.
What's your take on it? I mean, we watch the news every day.
Right.
It has to be hard to
it's
go to
hard.
A place like this
yeah.
and look at it. And then yeah. try to think of, just flash back on the way it was before and still come up with a positive feeling. But that's
mm-hmm.
what you've done.
Mm-hmm. I've certainly tried to be as optimistic as possible. I have to admit, while I was there and even since coming back and writing the article brought a lot of the old feelings back, I kind of fluctuate between hopeful moods and more, pessimistic ones.
Right.
The job of reconstruction is huge. You see it on TV, it doesn't give you the full extent of the disaster, and if you go out to the areas that have been affected, just the sheer size of it is amazing. In some places it almost looks like an atomic bomb has hit. And I was really struck by the fact that, this is, when I saw it, it was 8 months after the hurricane. It looked like it had happened yesterday. So, I'd love to see it come back to the way it was. Quite frankly, Roy, I don't know if it ever will. Certain areas, like the French Quarter, which weren't damaged too much to begin with, thank goodness for their tourism, because that's an area many people like to visit, they are more or less the same. But the city surrounding it, it's kind of like, I get an uneasy feeling that it's kind of like a little hothouse flower that's being nurtured, but, all of the garden around it has been wiped out. So I just don't know. I certainly hope for the best for it.
And the gardeners.
Pardon me?
And the gardeners as well.
And the gardeners too, exactly, because they've lost I tried to get an estimate, I think it's between half and two-thirds of the population. These are people who have lived in New Orleans all their lives, many of them probably doing jobs, the more lower-paying jobs in the service sector, but these are traditional people from New Orleans. It was their home, and they've left. They may not ever come back. New workers are coming in, so the whole tone of the city is changing. It's very interesting.
Tell us a bit on what you saw with the major hotels, restaurants, stores, those kinds of things.
A lot of them are still open. I say in the article many of the smaller places I knew have gone. I guess it was just really tough for small businesses to start up again after something like that. The main ones are still thriving. The French Quarter is still there, as I said. Bourbon Street was much less crowded than I remember it before, even though Jazz Fest was on. There's a kind of sense of normality. You can still get great meals. We went to Antoine's restaurant one night at Redfish Inn, places I mentioned in the article. I mean, right. To that extent, it's still the old New Orleans. The music is still playing. And although walking along Bourbon Street, I do have to admit that I felt there was a little bit of a forced aspect to it. They were kind of trying to show that it was still the same, but who are we kidding? Everyone knows what's happened. And it's
right. And you said that Canal Street presented a puzzling mixture of normality.
Yes, that's right. And it, of course, those in New Orleans, people who know New Orleans will know that's sort of the main business commercial street. Parts of it don't look too bad, and other parts, it really depends. Some stores have been boarded up, and, you know, they've had to cut back on the sanitation workers, so there's a lot of uncollected garbage in the streets. It's certainly not looking as good as I remember it looking in the past, but then how could it, you know, after something like that?
Absolutely. So the Jazz Fest came off okay.
Yes. Oh, it was very well attended. In fact, I'd been there the year before, Roy, and I'd have to say the crowds were bigger this year. So I think a lot of people like me wanted to go almost kind of as an act of solidarity. I mean, you see it and you wonder what you can do. You give money for fundraisers and that, but they really welcomed us there. I would say one message I get out to your listeners is if you want to go to New Orleans, this is a time to go. I mean, the summer is always hot, but they certainly want people to come down, and they're trying to get all the festivals. Like, there's always something going on, and they're trying to run it, you know, back to normal as much as possible, and they need it. They need help.
And people are still having problems with these insurance claims and,
right.
and all this
That's
other.
Right.
I mean,
mm-hmm.
Well,
you know, many people were told that they didn't qualify for flood insurance because of the belief that the levees
right.
were good enough or that the area wasn't a traditional flood zone. However, some people were smart enough to actually get it, and those are the people who now could expect to get new houses. But as I said in the article, one lady I met at the hotel, she was the hotel desk manager, told me that she did have flood insurance and will get a new house, but it doesn't really mean that much to her because all of the things that were so precious to her in her old house, all the photo albums of her kids and her grandchildren, personal mementos, no insurance policy can ever replace those things. And so she's had a very tough time.
And then, of course, some of the incredible personal stories, like
yes.
the one you mentioned about the hotel clerk or hotel
or the manager right.
at the Comfort
mm-hmm.
Inn,
mm-hmm.
Where he personally saved the lives of an Argentinian family.
Yes.
How incredible.
Well, this is, listening to that story, Roy, I mean, I have to say that, you know, he basically did save their lives, and the account he gave is of the time they spent with this new baby in the convention center and what they were dealing with there and his desperate attempts to finally get them, the National Guard, to drive them out to a rendezvous point where his wife was going to meet them, and they had to lie in a flatbed truck covered with tarps pretending to be dead bodies so that looters wouldn't shoot at them. I mean, I listen to stories like this, and I think someone has got to be making a documentary
mm-hmm.
about this, because there must be so many more stories like that.
And you even touched on a little bit about the unique district subcultures like voodoo.
Yes. I have to admit I combined a lot of previous trips into that article
right.
because, you know, I've been there so many times. Voodoo is just one aspect of the richness of New Orleans and its culture. I mean, to some extent it's kind of commercialized. They know that visitors, tourists are going to be interested, but there is definitely a hardcore basis of belief that still exists. And you, for a native New Orleansian, you don't really want to kid around too much about it. The lovely lady, the priestess Miriam Williams, who runs the spiritual voodoo temple on North Rampart Street, just across from Congo Square, she will give you a very interesting discussion of the philosophy of voodoo, and it's not really the stereotype that we think of it. It's kind of like a new age form of spirituality, and many people still believe in it.
I've experienced some of this. I've attended a number of seances, or whatever you want to call them,
mm-hmm.
in Haiti, in fact.
Mm, yes.
And, they're quite serious about all of that.
Oh, yes.
And,
funny you should mention Haiti, because one of the very interesting exhibits that was on when I was down there was the connections between Saint-Domingue, or what is now Haiti, and New Orleans. They had a lot of very important artifacts from Haiti and from France that were showing the connection between the slave revolt that took place in Haiti in the late 18th century and the immigration to New Orleans that followed that. And it was a fascinating exhibit. They were actually worried that some of those documents, they didn't want the exhibit to be there after hurricane season began.
Right. Now, what about the French market and all of that? Is that all functioning again?
Yeah, those areas are still operating. As I said, the very first day I walked through the French Market, there's the Jazz National Historic Park, which has got to be the smallest park in the United States. It's basically an exhibit of jazz memorabilia, and the ranger there told me that really, to walk around the French Quarter, you would get a completely unreal sense of the extent of the damage. So if you were to just go to the French Quarter, you wouldn't see really too much in the way of damage. It's pretty, you know, it's fairly much the way it was before.
So in summation, how would you summarize what you see today, and what would you recommend to our listeners? Would you suggest a visit? Or?
Oh, yes. I mean, the summertime, of course, it does. Yeah, even when I was there in early May, Roy, it was. Well, I'm a Canadian, so maybe the hot weather is, you know, I'm not used to it the way they are. But July, August tend to be quite warm. But as I say, there's always something going on. I would recommend people go. The fall, I understand, is a beautiful time. I think they're planning a full-scale Mardi Gras next year. If you're a jazz fan, you really can't miss Jazz Fest. The weather is generally good. You take your chances someday with rain because it's, you know, it's all outdoors. But I think one thing I would say, though, if you do go, and this would be a strong recommendation I'd make to the listeners, certainly see the French Quarter, certainly see the Garden District and the cemeteries and all of the things that are interesting to tourists. But if you can, try to get out maybe in a taxi to have a look at the areas that have been devastated, because it's a reality check that I think everyone who visits New Orleans really needs to see just how much of this great city has been devastated, and how much, you know, the long way they still have to go if they're ever going to recover from it.
Peter Flaherty, great article. It's up on our website under Rediscovering America with some great photos. We suggest you have a look at it where you can read his article in depth. Peter, once again, I thank you for this, and hope to be talking to you soon.
Hope so too, Roy. Nice talking to you.
Same here. Bye for now. That was Peter Flaherty, and I highly recommend you read through his article. Peter's brilliant, and his article is absolutely wonderful. We're going to go to break, and when we come back, Lori McConnell, a communications manager from Boise, Idaho, Visitors and Convention Bureau. So hang in.